Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur from the Mishnah that you find at the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei, our topic heading, where we have written Havoas Eitzim Lahasoka B'yomtov, the gathering in of wood for burning purposes. Wood would be the source of fuel for cooking and baking. We're dealing with the gathering in wood on Yom Tov, min hasode, from a field, and a karpif, from an enclosed area. You will notice that a difference is manifest between an open field and an enclosed area. The principle operating here, as we've seen quite often already in this Masechta, is the need to have something prepared from before Yom Tov in order to use it on Yom Tov. Mevi'im, the Mishnah, Mevi'im Eitzim, min hasodeh, min hamechunas. One can bring wood. Of course, it's disconnected wood. It's wood that's not attached to the ground or attached to a plant or tree. So it's loose wood or disconnected wood from a field. Min hamachunas. This means wood that was gathered together in a pile, let us say. Erev Yom Tov, from before Yom Tov, where the individual shows us that he is relying on that wood. And it's not something that's out of his mind. It's not mukta. But if it's in a field, and it's simply scattered wood over the floor of a field, so it's considered mukta. It's not something that you had in mind from before Yom Tov. The Mishnah continues, Umina karpif. A karpif, as we said, is an enclosed area. It's a guarded area because of the fence around it. Afilu min hamafuzar. Even from wood that's scattered within this enclosed area, we say that your mind was on it. Ezehu karpif. What is a karpif? What constitutes a karpif that the Mishnah was referring to? Answer, kol shesamuch le'ir, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. An enclosed area that is literally adjacent to the city. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol shenichnosim loy b'posachas. A posachas is a lock, it's a key and lock. Anything that's an enclosed area that has a lock on it. Vafilu b'soch tchum Shabbos. Even if it's at the edge of the Tchum Shabbos. The Tchum Shabbos is a measure of 2,000 amah, approximately a kilometer, from the city's edge. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, the karpif doesn't need to be located adjacent to the city in order for it to have the karpif standard that we said you are able to gather even scattered wood within the enclosed area. More will be mentioned in the Gemara regarding the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in trying to understand what exactly they are arguing about. Omar Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Ein Mevi'im Eitzim Elo Min Hamechunosim Shebekarpif. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, of course, he's an Amora. He says that one is not allowed to bring in on Yom Tov wood other than wood that's gathered in a karpif. The Gemara asks, V'ho anan t'nan, but our Mishnah didn't teach that thusly. Rather, it taught min ha-karpif. Ve'afilu min ha'mufuzarim. When you're dealing with an enclosed area, so it doesn't have to be gathered, it could be mufuzar, it could be scattered. Notice the dashed underlining where we highlight the contrast. Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel has the added requirement of it being gathered together in the karpath. The Mishnah indicates even if it's scattered, it's okay. So Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel would answer Masnisin, the Mishnah which has this leniency of scattered in the karpath, Yechidah hi, is the opinion of a single authority. It's the opinion, as we will see, of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in his presentation of Beis Hillel in the upcoming source. So, since the Mishnah represents a single opinion as opposed to a majority opinion, Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel is not bound to it. The Sanya. Now, the Gemara gives the source in which we see this single Tanaic opinion that is exceptionally lenient. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Lo nechleku beishamei beishilel al hamufuzarim shebesodos she'emivien. Regarding this point, we call it point number one, there is no machlokes, namely, scattered wood in a field, one is not allowed to bring in to his home on Yom Tov. It is totally muktzeh, totally out of his mind, thereby lacking the necessary preparation. V'al hamechunosim shebekarpef shemevian. Point number two is also not a controversial point. There is agreement that if it's mechunos, if it's gathered in an enclosed area, you can bring it in from the karpef on Yom Tov. Al ma nechliku. What is the point of controversy? Al hamefuzarim shebekarpef. If it's scattered, but in an enclosed area. V'al hamechunasim shebesados. And on that which is scattered in fields. Shebeishamai omrim lo yavi. Ubeishilo omrim yavi. Beishamai says that these two cases that we marked, Aleph and Beis, one cannot bring. And Beis Hillel says that you can. So amongst the points that Beis Hillel mentions is that if it's mefuzer in a karpuf, you're allowed to bring it in on Yom Tov. And we note, the Chachomim disagree. Hence, Reb Yehuda Omar Shmuel was not bound to this lenient ruling, and he added the requirement of it being mechunas in a karpuf, gathered together in the karpuf. Omar Rava, Alei Kanim v'Alei Gefanim. The leaves of reeds and of vines, grape leaves. Afal pi demichanfi luhu umoisvi. Even though they have been gathered together. Mechanfi means gathered together. They're gathered together and sitting there in a pile. Kevon de'imadli zika mivdar luhu. Since if a wind would start blowing, these leaves would easily scatter. Kemufuzarin damu v'asurim. They would have the status of being mufuzar, of being scattered. And, as you saw above, when the fuel or whatever you're interested in is scattered, so it's of course less available in Yom Tov terms. However, v'asnich mona me'esmolayu, if you placed upon them, a mona is a vessel, we can call it a weight, upon these alei kanim and alei gefanim, the vessel having weight to it would keep the leaves in place, even in the face of a wind. So, shapir domi. As long as you put the vessel on them from Erev Yom, from Esmol, from the day before Yom Tov, that is the means of having them prepared. Ezu karpif v'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, kol shesomach le'ir, and Rabbi Yossi indicated anything that you enter with a that has a lock on it, even if it's at the edge of the tchum. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a structural element. The double underline appears, and we note on the side under our Mivneh heading, Hechi Ko'omar. This is the phrase you see in the highlighted with the double underline. Beis Efshorios, two possibilities. Ech Lohavin Machlokas Hatanoim B'Mishnah. So you can see we have a long question. The question is that exactly the how are we to understand the Machlokas Tanoim? What are their respective opinions? In the Gemara, you can see we have a long question because the two sides are presented within this section. The Gemara, Ibayalo, Hechi Ko'omar. How are we to understand the opinions of the Tanoim? So Aleph, here, three lines later, Odilma Beis, or possibly another way. So, Kol Shesomuch Le'ir, does the Tanakama say that a Karpuf, first of all, has to be that which is next to the city, adjacent to the city, an enclosed area adjacent city, for who the Islay Posachas, and additionally, it has to have a lock on it. So the Tanakama has two requirements, Somuch and Posachas. The also Rabbi Yossi LeMeimar, and Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, Kevon de Is Le Posachas, since it's an enclosed area with a lock on it, in other words, a gate with a lock in order to get into it, Afilu Besoch HaTchum. Afilu Besoch Tchum Shabbos. Even if it's within the Tchum, but at the edge of the Tchum, even if it's not adjacent to the city, literally. Now, one would infer from this, and Rashi points this out, that if it is somuch to the city, it's literally adjacent to the city, this karpuf, this enclosed area, then it wouldn't need a man'ul, it wouldn't need a posachas, a lock. So that, according to this approach, Rabbi Yossi says in order for it to be an acceptable karpuf, all you need is one of two elements. Either somuch, without the lock, or at the edge of the tchum, but with a lock. Oy dilma, or possibly, hachi ko'omar. Maybe the opinions are set up as follows. The Tanakama is saying, kol shesomuch le'ir, bein di'is le'posachas, bein de'les le'posachas. According to the Tanakama, as opposed to what we said before, that he has two requirements, the Tanakama has only one requirement, but it must be next to the city. The Karpuf must be next to the city, adjacent to the city. The also Rabbi Yossi LeMeimar, and Rabbi Yossi comes and says that everything is dependent on the Posachas. Afilu Besoich Tchum Shabbos, even if it's at the edge of the Tchum, V'davka de'is le'posachas. But it has to have a lock on it. Avoles le'posachas, if the karpuf doesn't have a lock on it. Afilu somuch li'ir nami lo'i. Even if it's next to the city, it will not be effective. So maybe that's Rabbi Yossi's statement, as opposed to what Rabbi Yossi, in the first approach, gave the possibility of it being without a lock if it's somuch. This version of Rabbi Yossi is saying it has to have a lock under all circumstances, even if it is somuch. Toshma. So the Gemara answers, Midikotoni, from the wording of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Kol shenichnosim loy bepoisachas, ve'afilu besoich tchum Shabbos. Any karpif that you enter with a lock, and now here the main point is this, even if it's the edge of the tchum. So from the fact that he adds this expression, even if it's at the edge of the tchum, Rabbi Yossi is showing us Shma mino Rabbi Yossi tarti l'kulo komar, that Rabbi Yossi is giving you two possibilities of leniency. Meaning that Rabbi Yossi never requires two elements, either or. Namely, if it has a lock, then we'll allow it as a karpif, even if it's at the edge of the tum. However, if it's adjacent to the city, then you don't need a lock. So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And Rashi explains, from Rabbi Yossi, we then will infer that what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it all depends on it being samuch. Shma mino. So this is conclusive. So that what comes out from this analysis is that in terms of how we presented the long question, Rabbi Yossi's opinion reflects the Rabbi Yossi in the Aleph of the Aleph Odomo Beis section of the Gemara, where Rabbi Yossi requires only one element in order for it to be an acceptable karpif. Either key, or a lock and key, or adjacent to city. And Rabbi Yehuda, in this analysis, comes out like he was presented in the Beis section of the long question, where it all depends on proximity to city. Namely, if the karpif is adjacent to the city, it's an acceptable karpif, even if it doesn't have a posachas. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Chsala, Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi l'hokel. We follow Rabbi Yossi, the more lenient version of Rabbi Yossi, namely, if it's somuch to the city, if it's right next to the city, adjacent to the city, it doesn't need a posachas. And if it happens to have a posachas, it doesn't have to be adjacent to the city, but it could be at the edge of the Tchum Shabbos. We continue with halachas that are relevant to the realm of muktzah and wood. Ein mevakin etzim. Mevakin means to split wood. For our purposes, it means to cut wood for your yom tov use. So it says, ein mevakin etzim lo min hakoros. One is not allowed to seek out a supply of wood from his beams. Beams are muktzah. They are set aside for building purposes. And velo min hakorosh nishbo b'yomtov. Nor can one use the wood from a beam that broke on yomtov. So that even though it's broken and it's not useful anymore as a beam which would be used in building, but when yomtov set in, it was still whole. And therefore, it was muktzah. V'ein mevakim lo bekardim v'lo b'megera v'lo b'magol elo b'kupitz. And when splitting wood, one is not allowed to use these implements. The Mishnah mentions a kardim, a megera, and a magol. What is one allowed to use? A kupitz. Let us pause a moment before going on into the Gemara, trying to explain these implements. So we do that by learning the Rashi. We look toward the lower part of the wide lines, the second line under the Mishnah commentary, lo bekardom, stam kardom, the average kardom vessel, osui kamin kli uminus, she'oisin ba'uchbus v'srogus, Shikorin, that a French word. It's an artisan's vessel, a leather maker, a person who fashions saddles. V'yesh she'osui ke'en kli uman shikorin b'guap. So you have some kardoms are made like in these two French words, which if we knew old French, it would be even more helpful. She'roishai hakotzer doma lekardumos shelanu. It has a It's a double-headed blade at the end of the handle. This double-headed blade, one is a narrow blade, and Rashi said that's like our kardumos. V'roshoy hasheni doyma likli umnei uchbis esrogas asusim. And the other edge of the head of this cutting device, we can loosely refer to as a hatchet. It is wide, so that you have one rosh, one edge is narrow, and the other is not narrow. The next implement mentioned in the Mishnah that one is not allowed to use, and again, the idea here is that these are vessels that are associated with an artisan, a professional, a particular profession, and as such, we don't use them on Yom Tov. It creates a wrong impression of what you are going to do, so that even if you have acceptable use intentions, the vessel reflects a purpose or a use other that is otherwise not allowed on Yom Tov. A megera is what we would call a saw. It's a Rashi says it's kein sakim le pegimos umemar lokutz bo eitzim kli umanhu. It's a serrated edge implement with which you can cut wood rapidly. However, it's a kli uman, and therefore we don't use it. And the magol, Rashi once again just gives a French word, two French words, and he says as well kulon kli uman hein venirikoy seboy melocha lefikoch oser. This too is a vessel that looks like that of it's an artisan's or a professional vessel, professional implement, and it looks like you're doing forbidden activity when we see you carrying this. What are you allowed to use? A kupitz. And Rashi says, El kupitz stam kupitz hu sakin shel katzovim. Your average kupitz is a butcher's knife. Doime le kardumos shelonu. She'enon kli uman. It is like our non-professional hatchets, and it's not a professional vessel. V'yesh she'isen bo shnei roshim. Some have two heads. Two heads means a double-edged blade at the head. V'asheni doime ksas lekardem uchbus k'deshaminon minei b'gemara. One of the two heads looks a little bit like the saddle maker's cutting device. Umiu stame lav limlechus umanhu. Your stam kupitz is not designed for professional use. We continue now in the Gemara on the top of Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, opens up with ein mevakin. You don't split wood, and that creates the impression you don't split wood at all. How is it then that the Mishnah toward the end says that you are mevakin with a kupitz? Now the havamin, in order to appreciate the question, the havamina, the initial thought, is that ein mevakin is a function of tircha, of extensive effort, exertion. And we avoid tircha, yaseira, extra efforts. We avoid that on Yom Tov. Now, if that's the case, so then the process of mevakin eitzim should be forbidden across the boards. And if you like the word boards as a type of pun, then so be it. But it's osur. It should be osur across the boards. How then is it that at the end of the Mishnah it says it's mutter to do this action with a kupitz? The Gemara, now, in the text, V'amris reisha ein mevakin klal. But did the reisha of the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, say no wood splitting is allowed at all? How then can the end of the Mishnah say that you can do mevakin with a kupitz? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel chisure mechasra v'hochi katoni. The Mishnah is abbreviated, and more needs to be spoken out in order to understand it. So what the Gemara does now is it rereads the Mishnah with the added understanding, and right after this framed section you see Tanya Namihochi, where the Gemara brings support to this. So what does the Mishnah really mean to say? Ein mevakin eitzim lo min hasavor shel kuros. One is not allowed to split wood from a pile of beams that are designated for building purposes, so that the opening of the Mishnah isn't focusing on the process of Mevakin, but the opening of the Mishnah is focused on source of wood. So you cannot go to a Savar Shel Koros, a well-formed stack or pile of beams, v'lo min hakoros shenishbur b'yom tov, nor can one use a beam that broke on Yom Tov, because as we said before, at the entrance of Yom Tov, it was not available for burning purposes. It was a beam. A beam is part of a structure or used for construction. And this source reflects the idea of muktze, of something that if it's not available at Bein HaShmoshes, at the entrance of the holiday, even though it becomes available, because in this case the beam broke on Yom Tov, it doesn't help us. So the Reisha deals so far with source of wood. Aval mevakin min hakoros shenishbur me'erev Yom Tov. However, you are allowed to use a beam that broke Erev Yom Tov, so it's useless as construction material, hence it's available for the only other purpose, and that's as fuel. Ukshay mevakin, and when you do mevakin, and that means when you do split, we'll call it kosher or acceptable wood, ein mevakin lo bekardam v'lo b'mago v'lo b'megero el b'kupitz. So at the end of the Mishnah is focusing on implements. What implements are not allowed or are allowed to be used? So that there's no question anymore about the opening of the Mishnah versus the closing of the Mishnah. The opening of the Mishnah deals with wood sources, and the closing of the Mishnah deals with implements that are allowed or not allowed to be used for that action. Tanyo Nami Hochi. The Brisa supports Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel's approach insofar as that the reason for the Mishnah is not based on Tircha like we thought initially, but the prohibition at the opening of the Mishnah is one that is Muktzah related. And here we have a Braisa that supports that. Ein Mevakin Eitzim Lo Min HaSavor Shel Koros V'lo Min HaKoros Shenishbur B'Yom Tov. One is not allowed to split wood from a pile of beams, nor using a beam that broke on Yom Tov. Lefi She'eino Min HaMuchan, because it hasn't been prepared. It's not available for fuel use at the entrance of the day. Now we go on, and we note on the side our topic heading: Shimush Bekarnim V'Kupitz, use of these vessels. The Mishnah mentioned not to use a karnim, but one can use a kupitz. In the structure of the Gemara, we have a note on the side regarding the structure. The double underline you see highlights the expressions, their quotes from the Mishnah: Lo Bekarnim Elo Bekupitz. These are quotes from the Mishnah. And we also have a diamond aleph and beis. These are shnei lishonos. This represents two versions of Rav, Shapirei Shamishnah. Rav comes to explain some aspect of the Mishnah. So aleph is, Rav is a comment on the Reisha. And Beis has Rav as a comment on the Sefer, the end of the Mishnah. So we continue now in the Gemara. The first double underline expression, v'lo b'kardum, one is not allowed to use a kardum. This we saw in Rashi was a vessel used by leather makers, by saddle makers, and it has two heads. The head of this we'll call axe-like or hatchet-like vessel has a double blade. One is called a zohar. Zohar literally is a male, and it's narrow. And the other blade is wide, and it's called a nekeva. So you have a zohar, narrow, nekeva, wide. Omar Rav Chinina bar Shalmiya mishmei de Rav. Lo shanu elo benakvus shelo. The prohibition of using the kardum is only using the wide part or the wide edge of the head, because that's the side that the leather maker uses in his craft. Aval bezachus shelo muter, but the narrow edge of this blade, of this head, you would be allowed to use. So in effect, you're using a professional vessel, a vessel of artisans, and the chidush here is, or the Mishnah is actually teaching us a leniency, that even though the vessel is a kli uman, is an artisan's vessel, you're allowed to use the narrow edge of the head. So the Gemara asks, what do I need Rav to tell me this for? Pshita, bekupitz nan. The Mishnah said that a kupitz is allowed. And we have to make an assumption right now, and that is that a kupitz is entirely zohar, is entirely narrow-bladed. So once the Mishnah teaches me that you're allowed to use a kupitz, we would interpret that to mean narrow-bladed. So what is the chiddush of Rav when he tells me I'm allowed to use the narrow blade of the kardum? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema, without Rav, I would have thought, Hani Mili, when is there allowance, permission? Kupitz lechudei, only a kupitz vessel. Avokardum the kupitz, but the kardum, which has two blades, one wide and one narrow, amol, I might have thought, mego, the high gisa osir, since the wide edge of the head is forbidden, high gisa nami also, the other edge of the same head should be forbidden. Komash malon, so what Rav is telling me is not so, that the narrow edge of the kardom vessel is allowed. The Ika Demasni Law Asefa. The squiggle underline is used often to indicate a transition between two versions, and this is now our Bayes version. So though there are those that teach Rav, as you can see he is in the next diamond, regarding the Seifa, the end of the Mishnah. Well, it said in the Mishnah, Ela Bekupitz, that Mevakin is allowed to be done with a Kupitz. Now here is an important insert that only Rashi mentions. You don't see this in the words of the Gemara. And the assumption is that in the area of the Baal HaLoshen Beis, in other words, this second version presentation in his area, a Kupitz had two heads to it, was double-headed. So the Sefer of the Mishnah says, Ela Bekupitz, Omar Rav Chinina bar Shalmiya Mishmei Derav, Lo Shanu, the heter of the Mishnah, and we didn't maybe, let's go back before we go further, because when we said the Kupitz has two heads means one is Zohar and one is Nekeva. That's the assumption as far as the Kupitz of this Lashon. So he says that the heter is Ela Bezachus Shelo. The heter of Kupitz is only the narrow blade of the Kupitz head. Avo Benakvus Shelo, but the wide edge of the kupitz, usser, that you're not allowed to use. Someone says, pshita, the lobe kardim tanan. Once again, Rav seems to be telling me something extraneous, because I would know that from the Mishnah which teaches me you're not allowed to use a kardum, and a kardum is associated with a wide edge blade. So what do I need Rav for? So the more answer is, Mao de Tamo Hani Mili Kardum. I might have thought that the prohibition of a kardum is only because the kardum, again, according to this version, a kardum is a vessel that's completely wide blade, is completely nekeva, nakvus. And it's designated for a professional artisan. Avol kupitz for kardum, but the kupitz, which is double-headed and has one wide edge and one narrow edge, and it's not designated for professional use, I would have thought, Emo migu da hai giso nami shori, that since the zachrus, the narrow edge, is allowed, I would allow the use of the wide edge of the non-professional kupitz. Komash malon, so Rav tells me, no, that when you're using the kupitz, we're going to allow only the narrow edge. As a comment on this last section of Gemara, the two Lishonos, what makes this type of Gemara a little confusing is that the approach, the Metzias approach to these two vessels, the carbon, kardom, and the kupitz, is different in the first Lashon than it is in the second Lashon. In the first Lashon, the kardom was portrayed as having, in addition to this, having a double edge, but one was Zohar and one was Nekeva. In the second version, the kardom is portrayed as something that has only Nakvus. And in the, likewise with regard to the kupitz of the first version, it was portrayed as a vessel being Zachrus. And in the second Lashon, the kupitz is Zachrus with Nakvus. We continue with the Mishnah. Bayis shehu mole peros, a structure, literally a house, but it's an enclosed structure. It could be something like a shed that is made of bricks or stone. Bayis shehu mole peros v'nifchas, and on its own a hole developed. In other words, without this, it was basically a type of enclosed, sealed storage area, and no obvious access, namely no open door to it. So it was a sealed storage area, and it broke open on its own. Nifchas. Notel mimokom hapchas. One is allowed to take fruits out of there, out through that opening, that developed on its own, and we don't say that the fruits are muktze. Now, what kind of muktze means that muktze fruits, obviously, are something that are useful for Yom Tov purposes. You're allowed to eat food on Yom Tov. But the concept of muktze means inaccessibility as a result of, in order to get to them, you would have otherwise needed to smash open the structure. And that action of smashing open structures is forbidden. That would be called muktzeh machmas isur. Namely, you would have to violate an isur, a prohibited activity, in order to get to it. So there was room to think, and the Mishnah is dispelling that. There's room to think that since at the entrance of Yom Tov, it was a sealed structure, therefore all the fruits inside would not be considered available for Yom Tov use. Therefore, the Mishnah reveals to us that since it broke open on its own, and we're going to see more about this when we learn the Gemara, but since the breaking open of it happened on its own, you can use the fruits. Rabbi Meir Omer, Af poches lechatchila v'notan. Rabbi Meir says something that on the surface looks very surprising, but he says you're allowed to initiate breaking into this enclosed structure to gain access to the fruits. The Gemara asks immediately regarding Rabbi Meir, Amai v'ha kososarola. How can Rabbi Meir allow breaking open a structure in order to get to the fruits? Is that not so serious to destroy or to knock down an oyola, a structure? On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, Meleches Stira, the Melacha of undoing, destroying a structure. Poches Levenim Lahagia Laperos will mention the removal of bricks in order to get to fruits contained in this closed structure. And number two, Chatichas Choysoma Shebekaka, we're going to deal with cutting ropes that attach covers that are sealing holes in the ground. So now, the question we saw already in the Gemara was, how can Rabbi Meir allow breaking into a structure on Yom Tov? The Gemara answers, Omer Rav Lechumi Bar Ado Mar Shmuel Be'avira Delivni. This is a structure that's not a permanent or real permanent structure. It's an enclosed area that's formed by rows of bricks, rows upon rows of bricks, in built around a pile of fruits, without cement. So, since it's not a permanent type structure, so Rabbi Meir feels it's allowed. You're breaking into it doesn't constitute the melacha of stira, destroying, because that melacha is only when you're dealing with a permanently built structure, something formed with cement between the bricks. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? Ve'omar Rav Nachman, Hani Livni, Da'aisur Mibinyono. Livni are bricks that are left over from a building site. Shori l'tutulinu b'shabato. One is allowed to move bricks around, let's say loose or isolated bricks on Shabbos. Hayil v'chozi l'mizga alayu. They are fit for using as a seat. Mizga is to sit on them. So that they are not considered muktze, and hence one is allowed to move loose or isolated bricks. However, that which is of greater interest to us is this. Sharginhu, he laid them out in a deliberate designed fashion in rows. He laid them out in rows or layers upon layers of bricks. Vadai aktsinu, he certainly has put them aside for building purposes. So the question here is, in order to get to the fruits that are surrounded by an enclosure formed by rows and rows of bricks, how can you move the bricks? They are usur. Rashi says, Sharginu, Sidron Zu'al Zu, you set them up one on the other. Goli Daite Shematzin Labinyan, you're revealing to us that you've set them aside for building purposes. We also tatinu, and therefore it's also to move them. Masnisinami Nitzar Midrabonon, the Mishnah should forbid this rabbinically. Sharei Metavlon, by getting to the fruits, you're moving these bricks that have been set up layer upon layer, which creates the impression of being set up for building purposes. So there's a granted that there's no doraisa problem, as Shmuel answered before Avira Delifni, but is there not a rabbinic restriction in moving the bricks? The more answers, Amar Rabbi Zera, B'yom Tov Amru Avolo B'Shabbos. The Mishnah's heter is with regard to Yom Tov alone. And on Yom Tov, you know there are leniencies within the realm of Oichol Nefesh. Food related melachas are, we'll say, allowed. And hence, since we're dealing with a rabbinic problem to begin with, namely the movement of the bricks, and since it's Yom Tov, which has an allowance for Eichel Nefesh activities, the bricks are allowed to be moved in order to gain access to the fruits. Now Rashi adds, Amar Rabbi Zera, Biyom Dav Hitter Rabbi Meir Kim, the Rabbanan Hudasir, since the Isser of Tiltol is only, Tiltol is the movement of that which is otherwise forbidden, is a rabbinic, is merely a rabbinic prohibition, Umishim Simchas Yom Tov Shari, because of the opposing factor, the lenient factor of enjoying a Yom Tov, we allow Sharei Mutar Bo Ochel Nefesh. We know that on Yom Tov, even actual malachas, formal prohibited Torah activities are allowed with regard to food, cooking and baking, etc. Avalob Shabbos Mishum Tiltol, but on Shabbos where we don't have a heter of Ochel Nefesh, so they are forbidden because of Tiltol, the Isser of moving prohibited items, Kirav Nachman, as Rav Nachman explained in the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Brisa supporting this distinction, Rabbi Zero's answer. The Brisa says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Poches L'Tchachiva V'Noitel, you're allowed to break open the structure as an initial choice and take out the fruits. B'Yom Tov Amru Avalo B'Shabbos, this allowance is stated only with regard to Yom Tov and not regarding Shabbos, just like Rabbi Zera. Omar Shmuel, Chaysomois. Rashi gives a French word for that. For our purposes, a chosom is a seal. It seals up something. So the seals can seal up a hole in the ground, and it can seal a opening to a vessel. And these seals were kept in place by ropes. The ropes were used to seal up either the covering of the in the ground, the hole in the ground, or the entrance to a vessel. Omar Shmuel, Chosomos Shebekarka, Matir Avolo Mafkia Velo Chotech. Matir means you can undo the knot. Rashi adds, the knot is not a knot made with permanence in mind. It's a knot that's made to be done and undone. And that, therefore, makes it what's called a kesher she'ena shel kayoma. It's not a permanent knot, and hence it doesn't come under the otherwise prohibited action of untying knots. That is prohibited. Untying knots is prohibited if they are knots that were made to remain there on a permanent basis. So the chosomos shebekarka, these ropes that sealed a hole in the ground, one can untie the knot, thereby gaining access to the content of whatever stored there in the ground. Avoloi mafkia velo chotech. Mafkia is to unravel the rope. If you are thinking to gain access by mafkia, by unraveling the rope, that is not allowed. Nor is cutting the rope allowed either. That's velo chotech. Rashi says, because this would be stira, and since we're dealing with the covering of something in the ground, something on the ground, so it's attached to the ground, this chosom is attached to the ground, you're not allowed to destroy that which is connected to the ground. That comes under the Isser of Stira. The Isser of Stira, again, it's one of the 39 prohibited malachas on Shabbos and Yontif. However, Shebekelim, these are chosomos, that seal vessels, matir, one can untie the knot, umafkia, unravel the rope, the chotech, and cut the rope. Echot Shabbos ve'echot Yom Tov. Whether it be Shabbos, and certainly Yom Tov. We've dashed on the line ve'echot Yom Tov. This is going to be the focus of our attention as we go on in the Gemara. But before we do so, we have a structural note, because you see the appearance of triangles on the side under the Mivneh heading. We have written, the triangles represent Kushos al Shitas Shmuel. These are questions on Shmuel's teaching. 1 and 2, Kushos al Dinoi, the Chosamos Karka. Questions 1 and 2 are focused on his rule regarding the ground-related Chosamos. And question 3 is Kushya al Dino of the Chosamos Kalim. Now the Gemara. Mesve, Chosamos Shebekarka. B'Shabbos Matir Avoloi Mafkia Velochotech. With regard to Shabbos, one is allowed only to untie, not to unravel, nor to cut. B'Yom Tov Matir Mafkia Velochotech. Now notice, in this source, the focus is on Chosamos Shebekarka. Shmuel, when he spoke about Chosamos Shebekarka, he made no distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. In this source, regarding the same topic of Shabbos, of Chosamos Shebekarka, there is a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the fact that he says in this source, B'Yom Tov Matir Mafkia V'Chotech, you can even cut the Chosamos Shebekarka, shows that there is no stira. There's no if there was a malach of stira involved, you wouldn't be allowed to cut them. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, the fact that it says not to do it, that's an isur derabbanan, that's a rabbinic prohibition. So on Shabbos, where you don't have leniencies of melechas eichel nefesh, so the rabbis imposed a restriction. But on Yom Tov, where we have allowances for eichel nefesh purposes, and you have, let's say, fruits that are stored in a pit in the ground, you're allowed to even cut the rope. Evidently, there is no stira involved. That's a challenge to Shmuel, where Shmuel was more restrictive when it came to the Chosamos Shebekarka. He did not allow chotech. This source allows chotech. The Gemara answers, Ha'amani, Rabbi Meir he. This source is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, D'yomar af poches lechatchila v'notel. We saw Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah that allowed breaking open of enclosed structures as a first choice. Upligi rabbonon ole, the rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Meir. The Ano the Amri Kerabonon, and I, Shmuel, hold like the more restrictive approach of the Rabbonon. Question. Umi pligi Rabbonon ole b'choysama shebekarka? Do the Rabbonon really disagree with Rabbi Meir when it comes to choysama shebekarka? It is true there's a machlokas tanoim, but is it applicable to Chosamos Shebekarka? V'hatanya, moidim chachomim the Rebbe Meir b'Chosamos Shebekarka. The chachomim concede to Rebbe Meir in his leniencies when it comes to Chosamos Shebekarka. Shebeshabbos matir avolo mafkir v'lo chotech. B'yom tov matir mafkir v'chotech. And what we've done is dashed, underlined the essential points. The essential points are Shitas Chachomim regarding Chosamos Shebekarka on Yom Tov allows Chotech. So how can Shmuel be, let's say, legitimatized by virtue of a Shitas Chachomim when the Chachomim don't agree with that? The Gemara answers at the top of Omid Beis. At the top of Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. We're going to the next Omid, the new Daf. Who the Omar Ki Hai Tana. Shmuel, who was restrictive, is based on the following Tanaic authority. And of course, in order for an Amora to be able to be acceptable, he's got to have a Tanaic source when otherwise he is opposed by other Tanaic sources. So what is Shmuel's basis? So we'll glance at Rashi at the top. Hu diomar ki aitana, Shmuel diomar liel. Shmuel said before, the filu biyom tov eino mafkia, that even on Yom Tov, when it comes to Chosoma Shebekarka, all you're allowed to do is untie the knot, but you cannot unravel, you cannot cut. So his approach is Ki Haitana, the Amar Nami Chosoma Shebekarka, Dafi Biyontov Ein Mafkia, as we'll see now in this source. The Sanya. We continue in the Gemara at the top lines. We say that Shmuel goes like the following Brisa: Chosomois Shebekarka, Matir, Avo Loi Mafkia Velo Chotech, Echod Shabbos Vechod Yom Tov. There you go. That's just like Shmuel. And when it comes to the Chosom Shebekarka, no distinction is made between Shabbos and Yom Tov. There is only untying that's allowed, but no unraveling nor cutting. V'Shebekli, B'Shabbos Matir, Avolo Mafki, Avolo Chotech. When it comes to a kli, a vessel, the Chosomos of Kalim, so the source tells me on Shabbos you're allowed to untie, Avolo Mafki, Avolo Chotech, no unraveling, no cutting, V'Yom Tov Matir, Mafki, Avolo Chotech. And on Yom Tov, well, you're allowed to do all activities, untie, unravel, and cut. So now, with this source in mind, the Gemara says, Tirats Deloch Resha. The Resha straightens matters out for us. Namely, Shmuel has found in the Resha of this source a source of support. Elo Seifa Kashya. But the Seifa of this source is at odds with Shmuel. Shmuel, when it came to the Chosom Shebekalim, even on Shabbos, was lenient. This Tana, on the other hand, when it comes to the Chosom Shebekalim, is not so lenient. He says, only untying is allowed, but not unraveling nor cutting. So, Elo Seifa Kashya. So the Seifa of this source poses a problem for Shmuel's din regarding Chosom Shebekalim. The Gemara answers that the Seifa of this source happens to be a Shitas Yochid. It reflects the opinion of an individual Tana, and hence Shmuel is not bound to it. Ha Moni, Rabbi Nechemyah Hi. This source is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemyah. And before we go on, let's glance at the Rashi. Ha'moni Rabbi Nechemyah hi klomar li'oylo muter lahavkia v'lachtoich di'ein bohem mishum stira. One is allowed to unravel and to cut the chosomos of kalim. There is no problem of stira. We're dealing with vessels, and vessels don't come under a stira restriction. U'lahai tanagufe im yochol afkia l'nasech biyodei shori. According to this Tana, if you would be able to unravel and disconnect by hand, it would be allowed. The hoda ka'osar, the restriction that you see in this source, is based on something else. Mishum tiltul sakin ka'osar. The restriction here is based on not the action of unraveling, but the method in which you will cut the rope, namely by using a knife. And you'll have to move the knife for this purpose. Rabbi Nechemyah de Omar Be'erivin Afilutar Afilutalis Ein Nitlin El Letzorach Tashma Shehem Yuchadim Lo. Rabbi Nechemyah, when it comes to moving articles around or vessels around, you're allowed to move them around on Shabbos only for the action for which they were designed. Knives are used for food, for cutting food, not for cutting chosomos, rope seals. Regarding this point, so Shmuel would not agree. So that chotech, cutting, means cutting with a knife. So regarding the point or the restriction of knife use only to food, that point Shmuel disagrees with. But as far as the actions are concerned, when it comes to the undoing of kalim chosomos, even this source would be lenient when it comes to Shabbos. The only problem is the way that you're undoing the rope or cutting the rope. And that's what the Gemara goes on to say. Ha'mani Rabbi Nechemya, this source that says not to be choytech the chosam shebekelim is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya, the Amar Kol Hakelim ein nitlin elo derech tashmishan. Namely, that vessels are not allowed to be moved around on Shabbos other than for their designed purpose. The Gemara asks a question. You'll notice that this is a long question. E, Rabbi Nechemya, if this source is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya, my Iriya Shabbos, why does it speak about the restriction with regard to Shabbos, afilu Yom Tov Nami? The restriction would apply to Yom Tov as well, namely using a knife on Yom Tov for a non-food cutting purpose. And if you would suggest that, well, Rabbi Nechemya makes a distinction between Shavus, which means an Issur d'Rabbanan, rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos, versus rabbinic prohibitions of Yom Tov, and would be lenient, that's not true. Umi Shanyolei, does he really make a distinction? What the Gemara does now is it presents three Tanaic sources, each one having its own Tanaic authority, and we will see that with regard to even Yom Tov, Rabbi Nechemya will be restrictive. Now, what do these three seemingly contradictory sources say? The Hot Tani Chada. One source says Masikin Bekelim Vein Masikin Beshivrei Kelim. This is a source. These sources deal with Yom Tov and use of items for fuel. So the first source says you're allowed to masik, is to burn vessels, but not vessels that broke on Yom Tov. If they broke on Yom Tov, they're called Shivrei Kelim, they broke on Yom Tov. So when Yom Tov set in, they were designed for something else, not for fuel. Hence, they're not available, they weren't prepared from before Yom Tov for fuel purposes. That's what we call Muktzeh. V'tanya idach, another source says, Masikin bein b'kelim bein b'shivrei kelim. You can throw chairs into a fire. Those are vessels. You can move them around. Obviously, you're allowed to move around vessels. And you're allowed to move around even shivrei kelim, even vessels that broke on Yom Tov. V'tanya idach, the third source says, Ein masikin lo b'kelim v'lo b'shivrei kelim. You're not allowed to burn even vessels, items that were otherwise allowed to be moved. And certainly not Shivrei Kelim Umeshani, and we resolve this three-way contradiction as follows. Ha Rebbe Yehuda, that would be the first source, who that reflects the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda, who holds from the concept of Muktza. Ha Rebbe Shimon, the second source reflects Rebbe Shimon, which holds, who holds that there's no muktzeh, and therefore even if it breaks on Yom Tov, you still are allowed to move it and throw it in the fire. Ha, Rabbi Nechemya, the third source is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya, namely that you're not allowed to move around vessels unless you're moving it for their designed purpose, and the chairs are not designed to serve as fuel. So what do we see? We see that Rabbi Nechemya is restrictive with regard to Yom Tov as well. So if that's the case, the source above it that was framed at the top part of the page, why, when it comes to cutting the Chosamos Shebekelim, does he make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Just like on Shabbos he is restrictive, he should be restrictive in that source as well with regard to Yom Tov. The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi V'Aliba DeRebbe Nechemya. There are actually two Tanaic approaches to Rabbi Nechemya. This happens often in the Shas, that later Tanoim, later chronologically speaking Tanoim, argue as what to the earlier Tanoim held. So there's an argument as far as how far does Rabbi Nechemya's muktzah or tiltal restriction go? Does it include Yom Tov as well or not? So the source at the top of the page will say he makes a distinction between Shavuos Shabbos and Shavuos Yom Tov. Hence you see greater leniency with regard to cutting the Chosamos Shebekelim on Yom Tov with a knife. And the three-way contradiction section, source number three, will present Rabbi Nechemiah in a more restrictive light, namely, that even with regard to Yom Tov, this Shavus, this Isur Drabonin of Tiltol, applies. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.